In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. We've been kind of counting down these past few Sundays. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but we've actually come to the last week of Great Lent, today being the fifth and final Sunday of Great Lent, because technically Palm Sunday and Holy Week are actually outside of Lent. But it's kind of amazing, because in the first 5 weeks of Great Lent, the structure for the weekdays, especially here at St. Anthony's, has been basically the same. And one of the things I want to highlight is that we've done every Friday is that of the service of the salutations. And this past Friday was the last of them, when we sang the entire Akathist hymn to Mary, the Mother of God. But on this fifth Sunday of Great Lent, our focus shifts to a different Mary, that of St. Mary of Egypt. Just as we began Great Lent with a Sunday of forgiveness, so too do we come to the end of Great Lent with a Sunday of repentance, in remembering the mother of repentance, St. Mary of Egypt. And she has a story that many of us may have heard, but just like going to church, it is well worth repeating. Simply put, Mary was a sex addict. To be clear, she was not a harlot. She did not live a life of prostitution because she did not live this lustful life or do these acts in return for any money. She was merely enslaved and addicted to her passions of the flesh. This way of life started when she was just 12 years old. She ran away from home to Alexandria, and at such a young age, she was beautiful and desired by many, and this way of life consumed her, so much so that she acted that way for 17 years. Constantly sleeping with men, always seeking out ways to find more and more sexual partners, to the point where she actually noticed a large group of young men setting sail to Jerusalem. And the young Mary saw this as another great opportunity and joined the group in order to seduce as many men as possible on their travels, and perhaps even find more men when she would arrive in Jerusalem. It just so happens that the reason so many people were going to Jerusalem at the time was because it was the time of the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, which we celebrate every year on September 14th. And she saw multitudes of people going to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and naturally Mary was curious about such an event. So she followed these great crowds, and she too started to walk inside the church. But just as she entered the doors of the church, there came about some kind of unseen force, this invisible force, which prevented her from entering. So she stepped back, she tried again, but no matter how hard she tried, no matter how many times she tried, Mary was physically unable to enter the church. She was, of course, incredibly distraught by this, knowing in her heart that it was her sinful life that prevented her from going into the church. And she walked out to the outer courtyard, and there she saw an icon of the Theotokos, and immediately she began to weep and lament. In looking at the image of the Mother of God, she realizes what she has done and just how much she has corrupted the image of God within her, and the tears flowed down her face. And she prayed to the Mother of God and vowed that she would change her life should she be allowed to see the cross of Christ. And after praying and promising to renounce her ways, she found herself freed from the power which held her back from entering the church. And finally, she was able to enter and able to venerate the Holy Cross. After venerating the cross, she returned to that icon, that same icon of the Mother of God, and declared herself ready to follow whatever path the Virgin would show her. And immediately she heard a voice telling her, "If you cross the Jordan, you will find rest." So she then departed to the desert beyond the Jordan River, and there she lived a life of prayer, of fasting, of repentance, where it is said that she watered the desert with her tears. After indulging herself in a life of corrupt companionship and lust, she then committed herself to a life of solitude and prayer, and staying in the desert for 47 years without ever encountering another human being. After the 47 years, finally an elder priest monk named Zosimus came, and he saw from a distance this body, which was nearly blackened by the sun, hair almost bleached white, and rags for clothes that were barely hanging on. And when he came within earshot, Mary called him by name, even though they had never met. And she shared with him her story, and she prayed with him. And after sharing her story, she begged him that he come back the following year and bring her Holy Communion to partake of. So when the time came, Father Zosimus went back out to the desert to bring her the Eucharist. And he saw her in prayer on the other side of the riverbank, and he noticed that she was lifted off the ground in her prayer. But when she knew that he was coming close, Mary ran to Zosimus, and she walked on the water to cross the river in order to receive the Eucharist. There she prayed with him, she received Holy Communion, and then asked him to come back again the next year. And when he returned the next year, he found her body, and Mary had passed away, leaving an inscription in the sand for Abba Zosimus to bury her there where they had first met. You see, even in the solitude of the desert, Mary was still part of the wider church. She was never fully alone, for no Christian is ever completely isolated. Mary's story can teach us so many things. But what we need to know is that her true conversion came when she decided to take a journey to the cross. And while it was by no means intended to be a virtuous journey to the cross of Christ, it was still this journey that provided an awakening and a revelation of her sinful and self-destructive life. In our journey now to the cross, we have come to the end of a great Lent. We have just completed the Akathist hymn, as I said, praising Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos, the all-pure and ever-virgin, who while yet a teenager gave her whole life and was fully obedient to the will of God. Mary, the Mother of God, is juxtaposed today with this Mary, this one who is enslaved to the lustful passions of the flesh, this Mary who from a young age pursued a life of sex and selfish desires, this Mary who looked only for personal pleasure and was only obedient to the will of the flesh. Yet through her revelation, through her repentance, through her change of mind, she received the very same glory, the very same life, the very same divinity, and the very same salvation as that of Mary, the all-pure, the ever-virgin, the immaculate, the all-holy Mother of God, the Theotokos. As we have now come near the conclusion of Great Lent and we approach Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and Pascha, we look to these two Marys and we see the entire spectrum of holiness and lowliness in the true love and mercy of our Lord. And each and every one of us falls somewhere in that spectrum. And we see that it is never too late. It is never too late in life or in Lent to repent. No amount of past sin and wickedness can keep a truly repentant person from God. Now, to be clear, repentance is not merely about being sorry that you broke the rules. It is not feeling bad about being caught. It is a turning and a change of mind in dedicating ourselves to the love of God. She who lived 17 years in great sin through repentance became one of the greatest of sinners, one of the greatest of saints. She shows us if there is hope for her, there is hope for everyone. If that saving grace, that glory of God can be Mary of Egypt's, then it can be ours. You are not too far gone. No matter how far you think you've run away from God, know that all it takes is the act of St. Mary of Egypt, the act of the prodigal son, the act of the righteous thief on the cross, the act of turning around, changing your direction back to God. And like the father of the prodigal, he will run towards us. Through the intercessions and prayers of St. Mary of Egypt, may we complete the course of Great Lent, enter into the time of Holy Week, and glorify and praise our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection with a prayerful and repentant heart. And may the mercy and love of God be with us. To him be the glory, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen.